And now, Don Blackwell.
I suppose that the most dangerous of all sins is that of pride. Because when a man exalts himself, he displaces God. And it's a sin that touches nearly everyone. Pride has caused problems in the home. Pride causes problems in the workplace. It causes problems in the church. Defoe called pride the president of hell. Alexander Pope said, pride was the never-failing vice of fools. The Bible says that God hates pride. Proverbs 6 and 16 says, these six things the Lord hates, yes, seven are an abomination to Him. And the very first one on the list is a proud look. C.S. Lewis called pride the complete anti-God state of mind. The proverb writer very plainly says, a high look and a proud heart is sin, Proverbs 21:4. And the Lord warns us that wisdom hates pride, Proverbs 8:13. That after pride there comes shame, Proverbs 11:2. That pride brings men low, Proverbs 29:23. That pride is a mark of wicked people. 2 Timothy chapter 3 tells us that there would come perilous times in the future where men would be lovers of their own selves, covetous, blasphemers. Verse 4 says, traitors, heady, high-minded. One version says, conceited. The New King James says, haughty. Romans chapter 1 says that those evil, wicked, morally degenerate Gentiles, it says about them that they profess themselves to be wise. Romans 1 and 22. That is, they were filled with pride. Friends, when we talk about pride, we need to understand the most important point is this. A proud man cannot go to heaven. In 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 6, one of the qualifications of an elder is that he not be a novice, the Bible says, lest he be lifted up with pride and fall into the condemnation of the devil. Now, what's the condemnation of the devil? Matthew 25 and 41 says, then he, the Lord, will also say to those on his left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. He's talking about hell. And he's telling us that pride can cause a man to go to hell eternally. James says that God resists the proud, but that He gives grace to the humble. Friends, our Lord said, whoever humbles himself as this little child, the same as the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Matthew 18 and 4. Pride is just the opposite of what the Lord requires. The Lord demands self-denial. Pride is self-exaltation. The Lord demands death to self. Pride is self-preservation. I want to talk today about some men in the Bible who had a problem with pride. And I want to learn some lessons from them about this most heinous of sins. The first man we want to talk about today is King Nebuchadnezzar. We read about him in Daniel chapter 4 and verse 29. The Bible tells us that King Nebuchadnezzar was walking in his grand palace in Babylon. And the king says, is not this great Babylon that I have built by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty? Friends, King Nebuchadnezzar was saying to himself, I did all of this. It's a result of my greatness, and it's here for my glory. The Bible says, while he was still speaking, a voice came from heaven and said, the kingdom will depart from you, and they will drive you from among men, and your dwelling will be with the beast of the field, and they will make thee to eat grass as oxen. The very same hour, Nebuchadnezzar's mind went from him, and he began to eat grass with the oxen. Friends, pride will cause a man to lose sight of his need for God. He will think that he is the source of his own prosperity. We see that with King Nebuchadnezzar. But James tells us that every good gift and every perfect gift comes down from above, James 1 and 17, and that God makes the rain to fall on the just and the unjust, Matthew 5 and 45. And God told Nebuchadnezzar, you are going to stay in this condition until you know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men and gives it to whoever He will. Daniel 4:25. Friends, sometimes we get proud of what we have done and our accomplishments, but they can be taken away from us so very quickly. And we need to realize how weak we really are in comparison to God Almighty. Sometimes we need to be made to realize and to see our own frailty. Nebuchadnezzar was made to realize this. Listen to the words of King Nebuchadnezzar after God finally returned him to his mind. The king said, "My understanding returned to me, and I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored Him that lives forever, and all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing." A second man that we can learn a lesson from in the Bible relating to pride is Uzziah. You can read about him in 2 Chronicles chapter 26. He was king in Judah. He was a great king, at least in the beginning. He began his walk in a very godly way. 2 Chronicles 26:4 says, "He did that which was right in the sight of God, according to all that his father Amaziah did." But then the Bible says that the king grew strong. His name spread abroad. And Uzziah built towers, and he digged wells, and he had husbandmen and vineyards and vine dressers and host of fighting men and an army of over 307,000 men. And verse 16 of that chapter says, "But when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to destruction." Listen to it. 2 Chronicles 26:16. "But when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction, for he transgressed against the Lord his God by entering into the temple of the Lord to burn incense on the altar of incense. So Azariah the priest went in after him, and with him were 80 priests of the Lord, valiant men. And they withstood King Uzziah and said to him, 'It is not for you, Uzziah, to burn the incense to the Lord, but for the priests, the sons of Aaron, who are consecrated to burn incense. Get out of the sanctuary, for you have trespassed.'" Listen to verse 19. "Then Uzziah became furious." Friends, I want to suggest to you that pride will make a man refuse to repent. The priests have pointed out Uzziah's sin, but does he fall down and say, "I have sinned"? That's not what he does. Does he do like David did when confronted by Nathan in 2 Samuel 12 and say, "I have sinned against the Lord"? That's not what he does. Does he do like Peter after Peter denied the Lord and went out and wept bitterly? No, that's not what he does. Instead, the Bible says he was wroth, the King James says. That means he was very angry. He was furious. Why? It was because of his pride. Because verse 16 says, he lifted up his heart to destruction. And you know, pride has the same effect today. Many individuals today who need to repent of sin do not because of their pride. It's hard to say that I should not have done that. I'm sorry. Many unfaithful members of the church who need to make their lives right do not because of their pride. Pride won't let them go in front of their brethren and say, "I have sinned." Many disputes among Christians go unsettled because of their pride. Some brethren go the rest of their lives bearing a grudge because of their sinful pride, and they die lost because of it. Friends, many people who need to obey the gospel do not, because their pride won't let them step forward and make that commitment. The end result of Uzziah was that the Lord smote him with leprosy. And verse 21 says he was a leper until the day of his death. And he dwelt in an isolated house because he was a leper, for he was cut off from the house of the Lord. And the sad thing is, many people today will lose their souls for even less. Proverbs 16:18 says, "Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall." Another man of pride that we read about in the Bible is Haman. Now, of course, he is the prideful man from the book of Esther. Haman was the second in command to the king. He was over all of the princes, and all of the people bowed down to reverence Haman, except one man, Mordecai the Jew. And it made Haman outraged. He was furious that Mordecai would not bow down to him. It stirred up envy in his heart, and it stirred up a plan for murder in his mind. Now here's the point. Pride can cause me to push myself over other men, to exalt me, to think less of other people. Maybe another person's not as well off as I am financially. Maybe another person's not as educated as I am. Maybe he's not as knowledgeable as I am, perhaps even in the Bible. Friends, it's not just prominent positions, though, that cause men to have this problem. It's not just people in great positions that battle this problem. In Romans chapter 12, the Apostle Paul writes for men not to think of themselves more highly than they ought. See, in the days of the miraculous, some people were getting a high opinion of themselves because of their particular miraculous gift. They may begin to think that they were really something special. The Apostle Paul said, do not do that. Philippians 2 and 3, he said, in lowliness of mind, let each esteem the other better than himself. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Verse 8 says that the Lord humbled Himself. That's the attitude I need to have. Because pride causes me to become self-important. My focus becomes me, not others. My wants are what is important to me, not what is important to others. A prideful person typically is a bad listener. He's not concerned about what other people have to say. A prideful person is oftentimes a source of discord among brethren. Frequently, they are church splitters. Well, Haman thought that he was something special. He was a very prideful man. He was so self-important, every man should bow down before him. But Haman got his reward. He ended up being hung by the rope that was intended for Mordecai. The Bible says pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Another prideful man in the Bible is King Herod. Acts chapter 12 and verse 21, the Bible says, upon a certain day, Herod, arrayed in royal apparel, sat upon his throne, and he made an oration unto them. And the people gave a shout, saying, it is the voice of a God and not of a man. Josephus says, Josephus, who was a Jewish historian, says that Herod did not rebuke the people. Herod loved it. He loved the praise and to be called a God, having the voice of a God. The Bible says immediately the angel of the Lord smote him because he gave not God the glory. And he was eaten of worms. And he gave up the ghost. He died. Why? The Bible says pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. Another prideful man in the Bible is a man named Ananias. We read about him in Acts chapter 5. What would motivate a man to give money to the church but to lie about the amount? Friends, the answer is pride. Ananias and Sapphira wanted people to think that they were doing more than they really were. They wanted the praise and the glory associated with being such generous givers. It's the same thing that motivated the Pharisees to sound the trumpet before they gave alms in Matthew 6. They love the praise of men. Peter says that Ananias lied unto the Holy Ghost. Verse 4, he said, you have not lied unto me, but unto God. Friends, pride motivates men to commit sin. The Apostle John lists the pride of life as one of the ways in which men are tempted in 1 John 2 and 16. Ananias lied because of pride. Men have stolen because of pride. Murders have been committed because of pride. Just ask Abel, Genesis chapter 4. Just ask Haman. Just ask the Jews who crucified the Lord. Their pride stirred up envy in their hearts, which led them to murder the Son of God. Job says, because of pride, men reject God. Job 35 and 12. Because of pride, men enter into contention. Proverbs 13 and 10. Because of pride, men persecute the poor. Psalm 10 and 2. Pride leads men to a great fall, as it literally did for Ananias. Upon hearing Peter's words, the Bible says he fell down dead and gave up the ghost. and great fear fell upon all of them that heard these things. Acts 5 and 5. And as we talk about prideful men, who could forget the Pharisee of Luke chapter 18? Jesus tells us that two men went up to the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank Thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican, probably pointed toward him. He said, I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. Friends, this Pharisee was proud of his own righteousness, and he looked down at others that he believed weren't up to his level spiritually. He bragged of his religious accomplishments. But you know, my attitude should not be like his. My attitude ought to be that of Luke 17 and 10, that we are unprofitable servants. We have only done that which is our duty. But this Pharisee thought he could stand on his own merits. That's 1 Corinthians 10 and 13. Let him that thinks he stands take heed, lest he fall. Jesus said that the publican went to his house justified rather than the self-righteous Pharisee. For everyone that exalts himself will be abased, and he that humbles himself will be exalted. To be abased in this verse is pointing to eternal punishment. That's what the Pharisee was going to get because he received no justification. His pride got in his way and was going to cause him to be lost. Friends, the Bible says pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. Mighty King Nebuchadnezzar was made to eat grass with the oxen. King Uzziah was made a leper the rest of his life. Haman became a hangman and died on the end of a rope. Herod was eaten of the worms. Ananias fell dead on the spot. The Pharisee received no forgiveness, but the promise of punishment to come. You know, it occurred to me how interesting it is that time and time again, God dealt with pride in such an extraordinary way. And I had to ask myself, why? Why was God so harsh with these men of pride? Maybe it's because of the seven things that are an abomination to God. Pride tops the list. Truly, pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. How do I overcome pride in my life? Friends, first, I need to come to feel about pride the way the Lord does. I need to come to hate it. Proverbs 6 and 16. Secondly, I need to work on developing the characteristics of true biblical love in my life. 1 Corinthians 13, 4 says, love envies not. Love vaunts not itself. It is not puffed up. Thirdly, I need to meditate on my dependency on God. Praying will help. Fourth, I must avoid thinking of myself more highly than I ought to. Romans 12 and 3. Fifth, I need to keep the promise of James 4 and 10 in my mind. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He will lift you up. Sixth, I always need to remember the words of Jesus. Always remember this. Except you be converted and become as little children, you will not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever will humble himself as a little child, the same as the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Matthew 18. And finally, I need to follow the example of the Lord. And John 13 and 15, the Bible says, for I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you.